In a court of law, you are innocent until proven guilty, and you have a right to face your accuser. In a college campus tribunal for sexual misconduct, the current interpretation of Title IX eliminates those two elements from the process. Recent actions by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos seek to make the tribunal process more fair so that the accused can have the opportunity to actually exonerate themselves. This is something my next guest recently wrote about for the Weekly Standard. He is the co-author, along with Casey Johnson, of The Campus Rape Frenzy, The Attack on Due Process at America's Universities. Stuart Taylor, how are you today, sir?
Very good. Nice to be with you.
StuartTaylorJR.com is Stuart's website, and we've linked to the Weekly Standard article on our page as well, so you can read in more detail than we'll go in through here, and hopefully it will compel you to think about where you're at the college campus you just sent your son or daughter off to as well. Just as a compare and contrast, as far as a sexual misconduct tribunal, what is the process if you are the accused right now?
Well, it varies from place to place, but what's almost uniformly true at the colleges is a grotesquely unfair process that, by and large, presumes the guilt of the accused, not the innocence of the accused, and denies him any opportunity to get a fair hearing. You mentioned confront your accuser. That's not allowed by and large. No cross-examination or very little cross-examination. The people who are deciding the case are so-called trained, secret training in advance, and my co-author and I have seen some of the training documents, and all of them basically say, you know, the guy's probably guilty, so don't take too seriously any little problems like inconsistencies between the testimony of the accuser and all the other evidence. No right to see exculpatory evidence, minimal burden of proof, and a whole long list of unfair processes that I hope Nancy DeVos's education department will change.
Now, as mentioned, this is all under Title IX. Was this the original intent and the structure, or is this developed over time?
Title IX passed in 1972 is a perfectly reasonable statute that said no sex discrimination in federally funded educational programs. The idea that it would be used to put young men on trial, or young women in some cases, for alleged sexual misconduct never crossed the minds of anybody in Congress when they adopted it. It's all an invention of bureaucrats, universities, and activists.
So it was really just catering to a fraction of the voting public?
Exactly. And the Obama administration carried it to extremes. It was already going to extremes. The universities didn't need a whole lot of help from the Obama administration to be unfair, but just in case any of them might slip into fairness, the Obama administration issued a bunch of decrees binding on universities, threatening to take across away their federal money or smear them with bad publicity unless they increased the number of guys they were finding guilty of sexual misconduct and expelling.
And when you think of the effects of this policy for the accused, whether or not they're, you know, let's just assume that the majority are innocent, for, you know, pick whatever facts you want. But if you are tagged as a sexual predator at any point in your life, it sticks to you. What chance is this person going to have to get out of get booted out of college A to get into college B, for example? Never mind, go out and get a job.
It's very hard to get into College B, or at least into a College B you would want to go to. You know, maybe some college would take you, but not a college that you'd want to go to. It haunts you reputation-wise forever. It does make it hard to get a job, especially anything that requires a security clearance where it would come up formally. And so a lot of the young men are who are falsely accused or who are in some cases found guilty of sexual misconduct for actions that was just nothing more than drunken sex, really. There's a lot of depression, there's a lot of post-traumatic stress syndrome, there have been suicide attempts, there have been successful suicides, all consequences of these trumped-up kangaroo court proceedings.
So Stuart Taylor, his article for the Weekly Standard, which you've linked to at our page, Innocence Presumed. It was published on September 6th, and again, we've linked over at our website to that. Stuart's website is StuartTaylorJR.com, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So what is it that Secretary DeVos is looking to change first? Is it really focusing on the training materials, the secrecy of them, or a combination of the two?
Again, it's a long list, but yes, the training materials, she would require that they be given to the accused, and I hope when we see her more fully revelation of what she's going to suggest, that she would require they be made public. That would do a lot of good because the training materials are scandalous, and if the public could see them, that would affect opinion about these things. She explicitly requires fairness to the accused, or would, and a presumption of innocence, which sounds like, oh, wait a minute, isn't this America? Do you need a rule to say that? And the answer is yes. In colleges, you do. Requiring sharing any exculpatory evidence and all relevant evidence would have to be shown to the accused in advance. The burden of proof might be lightened if the university would do that. It would give them the option of lightening it. I don't think many universities would do it. The cross-examination ability would be improved. I'm not sure that it would be improved enough. These rules probably could use some reworking and improvement, and there's going to be time to do that. But it'd certainly be a huge improvement on the status quo.
Before this action was developed, had the rules, had the process been challenged through courts at any point? Is there any precedent that could be supportive of these draft regulations?
Very much so. More than 100 state and federal courts, which is an amazing number in this area, have ruled that campuses have violated the rights of the accused in one way or another. They haven't all sort of thrown the cases out, but they've said, most dramatically recently, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit found that the University of Michigan had violated the rights of a young man by not allowing any form of cross-examination of his accuser. And, as I said, more than 100 other, some other cross-examination suits. And that's a huge number. By and large, courts rubber stamp university discipline when people challenge it in court, but not in this area. The courts are really catching on to the fact that a major, major, major outrage to civil liberties is going on, and it's still going on.
Now, the process is after the publication, there's a period of 60 days for public comment. Is it safe to assume that proponents of the status quo are going to sound off at that point?
Have sounded off. Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, the senior Democrat in the House, many other Democrats have made strident and, insulting attacks on Betsy DeVos and on these rules, as has Joe Biden, for one. The Democratic Party, by and large, of which I was once a member, has been absolutely crazed about this. And one thing it makes clear is the far, far left extreme a corner of the feminist movement has taken charge of the Democratic Party on issues like this.
You can read this article again at theweeklystandard.com. We've linked to it over at our webpage. Also, spend some time with Stewart's book, co-written with Casey Johnson, to give you more further insight on this situation, the campus rape frenzy, the attack on due process at America's University. Learn more about Stewart's work at stewarttaylorjr.com. Mr. Taylor, thanks for being here today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.